Pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can celebrate what Christ has done for us this evening. Thank you for the power of salvation that comes through Christ. Father, I pray that you'd help us be thankful for what you've done. Father, often we are concerned about our needs and our desires and our wants, but Lord, thank you that you have met our greatest need, and that is our sin problem is removed by Christ, and we can come back and know you and love you forever. So we thank you for that, and I pray that we would rejoice in that. As we come to your word, I pray that you direct us and guide us by your Holy Spirit so that we can think your thoughts after you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So our text this evening is from John chapter 14. John 14. So you turn there with me. John 14, we'll be reading the entire chapter. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going and how we can know the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also live. After that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I am. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. So in the last few months, I've really enjoyed reading through the reading and rereading the Gospel of John. And especially Jesus' words here in his farewell to his disciples. I know Joe preached on some of these verses a few weeks ago, and it's good. I don't think he's here, so he doesn't have to know about it. But I really like these chapters, and so I thought I wanted to preach on them in relationship to the Lord's Supper. Now it's in the Bible, so you got to share. It's for everyone. So John 13-16 are sometimes called the Upper Room Discourse, when Jesus gives his disciples instructions and encouragement before he goes to the cross and then to heaven. I think it's very interesting, I'll bring this up later, that this is during the Lord's Supper, but there's no, in the Gospel of John, there's no institution or explanation of the Lord's Supper. It's obvious that it happens. In chapter 13, there's talk about supper and bread and whatnot. But John wants to focus on other things here, and I think it's really cool to see how he talks about the disciples' relationship with him and the Father. And that's the focus of these verses. Something that I've noticed about these verses, chapters 13 to 16, is how intensely personal they are. At one point, Jesus says, "No, I call you my friends," which is amazing. Jesus is speaking to his disciples as close friends, and they are very concerned that he is leaving. Now, when I've read these verses, these chapters before, it's almost that I thought that Jesus was giving, you know, final marching orders to his disciples. And there's certainly that. He's giving them the command to love one another and other encouragement that, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come. But really, in this, one of the main issues is that Jesus is saying goodbye. And his disciples are distraught over it. And so he's comforting them over his departure. There are truths in these verses that can encourage us when we say goodbye to Christian friends, because Jesus is the one who holds us all together. And that's what I've been encouraged by through these chapters. But it's more than that. As I have studied these chapters, the question came to my mind. Why is it a problem that Jesus is leaving? I've never thought of that before. This is a major issue in the center of the Gospel of John, that Jesus is leaving his disciples. For us, we don't have that issue because, well, Jesus has already left, and we're waiting for him to come back. But we've never had supper with Jesus. We did not walk around with him in the land of Israel for 3.5 years. Jesus leaving isn't a big deal for us as we read this text because he is not here physically. However, I think maybe we can relate maybe emotionally to these verses that we've read if we think about it in a little bit reverse way. Now that Jesus is gone, we are waiting for his return. We are waiting to see him face to face. So if you have that longing to see Jesus, I think that you can understand the disciples' distress over his departure. It would be great if Jesus was here. And as I was reading through these chapters, I was just struck, wow, it would be amazing if Jesus was here. Because, he could heal us all your sicknesses, all our sicknesses, he could just lay his hands on us and heal us. And he will do that one day. He could tell us how to love and know his Father better. He could walk with us and teach us how to live in a way that pleases him. And I think we should cultivate that longing for Jesus. And as we cultivate that, I think we can better understand why the disciples are distraught while he's saying goodbye. As painful as it was for Jesus to leave his disciples, it was necessary because they would not get, because when Jesus left, they would get more of God and his blessings if Jesus went away. Jesus says this in chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And so Jesus is unpacking the beauty of what it means for him to leave and for the Holy Spirit to dwell in every Christian. And that's an advantage for us. Now, we're not going to cover every verse in this chapter, but I want to consider four themes in our text that relate to saying goodbye. So number one, Jesus brings us home. Jesus brings us home. Now, saying goodbye often involves leaving home. This is something on my family's minds as we consider where our new home will be. Home, though, is more than a place. Home is a family, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the next point. Jesus leaving doesn't make a lot of sense to his disciples, but Jesus must die on the cross to accomplish our salvation, and he must ascend to his Father and send the Holy Spirit. Now, the strange part about Jesus leaving is that by leaving, he brings us home, which is interesting, okay? Like, you would think, like, Jesus would say, I'm going to set up shop here, you know, I'm going to build a palace for you all. No, Jesus leaves, and by leaving, he brings us home. So these are three ways that Jesus brings us home. Number one is Jesus will make us a home. In verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Joe talked about this when he preached this very, very, very well. But this is when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, it is like a man preparing a house for his future bride. And so Jesus, in the same way, Jesus leaves to prepare a place for us to live. Now, we can think of the New Jerusalem. We can think of heaven. But more than a physical building that Jesus is creating with his hands is that he is bringing us back to his Father, because that's where we belong. We belong with God the Father, our Creator. And so he's saying, I'm going to bring you back there. Secondly, the second way Jesus brings us home is that the Spirit will dwell in us. So when Jesus ascends to heaven, he sends the Spirit to dwell in us. That is one reason it is necessary for Jesus to leave. Notice verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will and give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit's with them. But I think what Jesus is talking about here at the day of Pentecost and afterward, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So Jesus thinks it's better, and it is better, that the Holy Spirit live in us than he be beside us. But it's all necessary because one day we won't have to choose between the two. We have the Holy Spirit in us and Jesus beside us. So the third way that Jesus brings us home is found in verse 23. The Father and the Son will make their home with us. The Father and Son will make their home with us. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I mean, this is mind-blowing that Jesus is saying, like, my Father and I are going to live in you. And I believe from the rest of the context is that they do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? That's how Jesus dwells in us, is by his Spirit. This morning we talked about loving and obeying Jesus as a way to abide in his love. To put it in our language of home, the more we love and obey Jesus, the more he makes us his home. So that renovation, it's almost like Jesus feels more comfortable. I'm not sure if that's the best language to use, but Jesus is setting up his home in our hearts. The more we love and obey Jesus Christ, the more we get to experience the sweetness of being a home for the Father. So I think this is amazing. So Jesus saying goodbye means that we become a home for him. It's amazing what Jesus has done for us. So Jesus brings us home. And secondly, the second theme about saying goodbye is Jesus brings us into his family. Jesus brings us into his family. When we think of home, we think of family. The importance of home is the people who live there. Now, when we were traveling over Christmas or after Christmas, we enjoyed being with my side of the family, which keeps on expanding because my siblings continue to have kids. So I think it's up to 18. So we had all 18 together in a house at the weekend after Christmas. And family is weird and it's wonderful. Okay, sometimes it's painful and confusing, but it is weird and wonderful. Often what makes a certain city home is the family who lives there. Jesus brings us into his family. Now, this morning we looked at Ephesians and saw that God adopts us into his family through the work of Jesus. This is the most important part of being a Christian, that you belong to the family of God. In verse 18, I love this. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now, we have friends and family that have adopted children and brought them into their family. And that is very, very powerful. Emily's brother and his wife are adopting a child from Hong Kong. I'm getting this right. Okay. And they've waited years to do this. And Lord willing, they'll be able to go over there very soon and bring their boy home. There's just so much emotion riding on this. And it is a powerful thing when a child who has no home and no family gets a home and a family. And that is what Jesus has done for us. He has not left us as orphans, but he has given us his Holy Spirit and made us his own. At the beginning of John's gospel, we are told, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you belong to Jesus, you have been born of God and you belong to him. Thirdly, third theme is that Jesus gives us direction. Jesus gives us direction. Saying goodbye and leaving is often hard and confusing. Sometimes there are not clear answers as to where we are going or how we are going to get there. I remember when my dad flew me back to the United States from Guyana in 2004, and he let me loose to find a job and to go to college. Now, I was staying with a very good family, and I had housing, but when he left, I felt very lost and confused. When Jesus says goodbye to his disciples, he tells them that they know the way to where he is going. Let's pick up the story in verse 5 of chapter 14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going or how can we know the way. Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, verse 6, we often talk about salvation, and it's very true. We can't get to the Father except through Christ. But it talks about if you have Jesus, like he's going to take you where you need to go. You don't need to worry about that because he is the way. So if you believe in Jesus, you got everything you need. If the disciples know Jesus, they know the way because he is the way. Life is confusing, often painful and hard, but we know our final destination and we know the one who will lead us all the way. That's a beautiful truth. Last theme in our text is Jesus gives us comfort. Jesus gives us comfort. Saying goodbye is hard, and much of what Jesus is saying in these chapters is helping his disciples deal with his departure. Now, we started reading in chapter 14, but let's look back in the last few verses of chapter 13, starting at verse 36. So 13:36, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. So you get that. Not only is Jesus going somewhere where they cannot follow right now, but Peter is now told, you're going to deny me. It's like, no way, Lord, I'm not going to do that. Now you can see when we get to verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then Jesus continues to comfort his disciples in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because they have Jesus. Of course we can have peace. Think of what Jesus had said. He will make us his home by the power of his Holy Spirit living in us. He's going to go away and prepare a place for us, and he will take us there to be with him. He has made us members of his family. He has not left us as orphans. He is the way, and he will make sure we get safely home. And so that's why we don't need to be troubled, because Jesus has got it. So whatever situation we find ourselves in, leaving or staying or trials or tribulations, we know that we have Jesus and he will take care of us. So let's take some time of silent prayer and reflection. as we prepare our hearts for communion. Amen. 1 John 1 says, "If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation," which means he is sacrifice that absorbs wrath. "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So this evening, let's joyfully partake of communion. That's something for every believer can enjoy together. And this is, again, our fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. This is important that we examine ourselves. So if you're living in sin as a Christian, or you're not reconciled with a brother or sister in Christ, I encourage you to pass the elements by and to take care of that which you need to take care of. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." I want to look a little bit further at John chapter 14 that we just looked at in the message. Again, these words of Jesus are spoken during the Last Supper. I think that's very interesting that Jesus, again, doesn't talk about the bread and the cup and technically institute the Lord's Supper, but it is during the Passover meal. The Gospel of John was written after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the Lord's Supper was something that was widely known because it was practiced every Sunday, at least in the early church. But the fact that John does not talk about the communion directly is interesting to me. Communion is very, very important, don't get me wrong, but there's other truths that that John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wanted to focus on as he penned Jesus' last words to his disciples. And I really think that the main point that John is getting at, and that a very important part of communion, is that that we are connected to Jesus. This is so important, that we are connected with Jesus. Many of Jesus' words in John 13 to 16 are all about our relationship with him and his Father, and being close to him and enjoying the love and the joy and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ and his Father. That's something that communion also points to, our connection with Jesus. So if Jesus had not died on the cross, we wouldn't be able to be connected with him. Jesus takes care of our sin, and we are connected to him and therefore can come to the Father. So Jesus, through his death, invites us into a beautiful, loving, and joyful relationship with his Father. And that's something that we can rejoice in this evening as we partake of the bread and the cup. So as we eat the bread and drink of the cup, we remember that Christ has done it all. He has taken every sin, and he will take care of every problem in this world in our lives. Every problem will be taken care of. Maybe not now, but in the future. And if we have Jesus, we have everything we need. And that's something that we can rejoice in this evening. Stephen, pray for them.
Father, we thank you for the matchless love and grace that Jesus provided for each of us. We just pray now that as we eat this bread that reminds us of his broken body, that each of us will remember him. In Jesus' name.
Jesus says to us, his people, "This is my body, which is given to you." Let us partake.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the love you showed us through sending your Son to die in our place. Father, in making us a part of your family, those that trust him as our Savior, we thank you for that, Father. We love you. We pray, God, that our lives would reflect our thankfulness in our daily walk and talk. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus says to us, his people, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Let us partake. We now have the opportunity to give to the benevolent offering. Let's pray for that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the fellowship we can have with you through Christ, and thank you that you invite us into that through love and obedience. And I pray that you would help us to enjoy fellowship with you this week as we seek you and seek to love you and obey you. Thank you for the time we've had together as your people today. And I pray that you would use this offering to meet the needs of your people. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.